Hey, Justin, how's it going?
Hi, I'm Justin.
Everything is good. So this is Justin Yu. He's a senior developer advocate on my team here, and you're on the other side of the world, right? You're over in Korea, right?
Yes, I'm in Korea now.
Super early in the morning for us. And Justin's going to jump in and talk to us about OpenAPI extensions with Azure Functions. And April showed a little bit about Web API, but you've done something fantastic. And I'm not going to give away anything, but I'm going to let you kick it off. And we're going to run through through your demo. So take it away, Justin.
Sure. Thanks, Shane, and thanks, April, about the great example, presentation of how we can connect our Web API with Power Platform, especially in Power Apps and Power Automate thing. So now I'm going to show how we can leverage our Azure Functions application with OpenAPI extension so that we can use Azure Functions for your Power Platform custom connector, right? So throughout in the next half an hour or so, I'm going to show some demos, mostly about the technical demos, how we can build the function application with OpenAPI extensions within Visual Studio without having to then deploy it to Azure without having to leave Visual Studio, right? So let's get into it. So, okay. So this is my Visual Studio for now. So I have nothing at the moment. So, and now make sure you have to, you should have the latest version of Visual Studio, which is 16.10 now. And then I'm going to add a new project here with the OpenAPI, the Azure Functions. Then it says, okay, let's create Azure Functions project. Now, when you have the latest version of Visual Studio, you will be able to see these two things, HTTP trigger and HTTP trigger with OpenAPI. So now I'm going to use HTTP trigger with OpenAPI. So I'm use that, then it will display, this HTTP trigger. And then what you can see here is, so you will be able to see these new things starting with OpenAPI. Thing, right? So this is the core of the OpenAPI extension. So that template has already integrated with OpenAPI extension. So you just simply run this. So what it does behind is I'm going to show the project definition file here. So when you see that, here is the this extension, the microsoft.azure.webjobs.extensions.openapi. The current version is still in preview, which is 7.0.7.2, so which is fine now. So yeah, so with this extension, we can definitely, easily integrate with the OpenAPI documents and Swagger UI with your Azure Function extension, with your Azure Function application. So yeah, I talk too much. So I'm going to just build this application on my local machine. So I didn't do anything, just use the existing one. So now it's building. Then there's something interesting you will be able to see here. So as you can see here, I have only one function, which is function one. But when I run this application, I have these four endpoints, starting with render OpenAPI document, render Swagger document, and render Swagger UI. This comes from the OpenAPI extension. So you don't have to write these things by your hand. So it automatically integrated with your as a function application, right? So I'm going to take this URL with Swagger UI, then paste it onto my web browser. Then it shows this extension. So this Swagger UI. So this comes from, so see this the function app is running. So this comes from the extension. Then if I run this try the Swagger UI, then you will be able to run PB. Then you will be able to see a message like that. So hello, run TV, which is the Swagger UI is actually running exactly what we expected from what. So you can imagine how the ASP.NET Core Web API uses Swashbuckle. So this is how we can expect from the Azure Functions application, right? So that's the one, and it's easy. Yeah. I want to show another thing here. Currently, we use text plain, right? Plain text, I mean, and we return only string type here. But mostly, we are not just return the plain text, but we are returning the object, which is JSON object, basically. So how can we change it, you know, change this behavior? So we can change this into something more useful. So I'm going to change, I'm going to change this line into a different one. And it says the application, its return type is application JSON, and the return type is a response object. But I haven't got the response object yet. So I'm going to create this response object here with this. And here, so I got the response object. Then it contains message. So I'm going to replace this response message with this object. So I change it. I'm going to change this part into this one. So I made some small change with then it returns instead of it returns object instead of a string. So now I'm going to build this function again. Then it will display something different. So it's built again. Now I'm back to the UI side. And as you can see, there is nothing in under the name, the function endpoint. So if I change this value, this page now, and you will be able to see the response object here, right? And then when you see, when I try this one again, run PB, then it will display OpenAPI, the JSON object, right? Before that, it was just returning the plain text. Now it returns the JSON objects, like that. So basically, whatever you build your as a function application, it actually automatically reflects your Swagger UI. And even here, a Swagger document as well. So this is your Swagger document. Then I will make it bigger. Then basically, as a default value, it will return Swagger version 2, which is OpenAPI version 2, which is formerly known as Swagger. Now, but if you want to see something different, version 3, yeah, you can find it, like use a different OpenAPI endpoint, version 3. Then you will be able to see the version 3. Currently, it uses OpenAPI the spec of version 3.0.1, right? So then if you want to render a different way rather than JSON, then you can change it to YAML file here, right? So either way, if you prefer use YAML, if you prefer to using JSON, yeah, you can, that's perfectly possible. And if you want to use version 3 or version 2 of OpenAPI spec, that's okay. So whatever you want, then you can make it. You can render it. And then you can make use of this the rendered OpenAPI document with your custom connector or with your other API management, with other thing as well. All right? Now, so let's get back to, so that's what we did so far. Right. So the polls has been there. So the poll question was, have you ever used the Azure Functions extension on your Azure Functions OpenAPI extension before? then 70% have not been used, and 30% they have. Yeah, which is good. So those 70% have been using, have not been using this OpenAPI extension. Please do so. Then you will be able to see the powerful the feature of it enrich your as a functions application, right? So now I built the OpenAPI. I built as a functions with OpenAPI support. Now how? So let's connect to what April did. April showed us before. So I'm going to deploy this as a functions application from Visual Studio, not having to leave Visual Studio, right? So let's do the right click publish here. Yeah, I know. People don't right-click publish, but let's do this for now. So I'm going to choose Azure. Then I'm going to choose the Windows here. Yeah. Then there are a bunch of here. So I'm going to use the existing one. You can also create a new function instance here, but I'm going to choose the existing one here. Then, as you can see, I can integrate these as a functions endpoint with API management. Of course, you can also create a new API, the endpoint, a new API management instance, or you can use the existing one like this. So I'm going to use the function app here. Then, yeah, click finish. Then you will be able to see the publish ready. Then I'm going to click the publish one, right? So it takes some time. It takes some time to get the function app ready. So let's wait a few minutes. Then I'm going back to this project again to show how we can leverage the CI/CD pipeline using the GitHub Actions now. So let's wait a few minutes now, maybe a few minutes or a few seconds. So in the meantime, I can show another one. So here, so for now, I used the as a function application with OpenAPI extension. Now this one, this time I'm going to show some sort of the configuration capability of Azure Function application. What that means is that, so I'm back to this one. So here, these values. So can you see the titles of this document? This type, that's a default value. But you don't, within your company, within your organization, I don't think you ever want to use this title. You want to have your specific title you want to use. And also, currently, as I said, the default version of the OpenAPI document rendered is version 2. But you want to render OpenAPI version 3 as a default value, right? And also you want to add some contact details and license details at below this URL, right? So these kind of things, how can we configure it? So we can we are able to configure it, right? So let's add another function. So I have already the function configured here. So I'm going to use function 2 in here. Then it says, oops, what is it? Oh, not this one. So existing, what? So I'm going to add a new project, existing project here. Oops. So I'm going to add existing project here. Then, it says, okay, sounds like it's not deployed yet. So I'm going to delete this one. So I added the function 2, which contains the OpenAPI configuration options, which is within this class, I declared my own the configuration, OpenAPI configuration options by inheriting default OpenAPI configuration options comes from the OpenAPI extension. Then by doing so, I can change all the title here and description here and terms of service and contact details here and OpenAPI license here, right? So let's change this value, OpenAPI document answer functions. So let's change this one. The value is hello run PB. So I change this value. Also, I also change it the OpenAPI version to version 3, right? So if I change this behavior like that, then you will be able to expect what the Swagger UI, how Swagger UI renders these kind of changes, information. So yeah, so basically the function is deployed. So before that, I'm going to show this one first. So now I'm going to run this the second function app. Then see how it's going. So remember that I changed the title and the OpenAPI document here. Oops, OpenAPI document version. So here, then currently the title is that, and there is no the contact details or license information. Also, it has only it's not the OpenAPI version 3. Now, if I change this one, then it says hello run PB, and it says, yeah, okay, this version is OpenAPI version 3. Then you can see those the custom details like contact details or license details and everything, right? So if I click this Swagger document, then as a default value, it renders the version 3 of OpenAPI document, right? So this is what how we can configure this kind of configure the OpenAPI metadata information like this. Okay. Now we have deployed our Azure function application. So let's go back to the Azure, then see how it's going. So yeah, so we have the function app here. Then, so as you can see, so function. So remember, I have only one function one here. Then the other four the endpoints are showing in our local machine, like this. Oops, like this, right? But when you deploy this application onto Azure, then those four endpoints is encapsulated, so you are not this is hidden from your as a function application, but it's still working. So it's in so we can say this is encapsulated. So when you go to there, then I will click this URL, then as a function is working, API Swagger UI, then it will display this OpenAPI extension, right? And you can see this this OpenAPI the document as well, right? So this is how we can you can see this OpenAPI document and Swagger UI page on your own as well. And also in here, so let's run this application here. When you try this out, so see what's happening, run PB, then you will be seeing like a 401 error because the function endpoint is the authentication level is function. So that means we have to provide some security code here, right? In this case, we need to get the application app key, API key here. To get this one, then authenticate this endpoint. So by doing so, and authorize this endpoint, then try this time. Then it will display the result, expected result, right? So By doing so, we can secure your endpoint as well, right? Then, so this is how we can use the Azure Functions endpoint directly from on the portal. Then let's get back to the API management, because we have already integrated our Azure Functions endpoint into the API management side. So we have the Azure Functions Open API here. Then we have the run get method here, right? It will return the same result. But before that, we need to see the some sort of security setting here. So we are using the API key through quality parameter. So let's get code and then put add value here. And I just copied this one. So API key, then it's saved. Now, when we go to the test one, then put in here, awesome run TV, then it will display the result. So it's turned okay, then hello, awesome run TV. So which is the our API management is perfectly integrated with our Azure functions with OpenAPI extension without any. So I didn't do anything but publish this application from Visual Studio. So it's automatically done for you. And also, as April showed, so we can export Power Platform, the custom connector, by clicking the export button or directly from here, create Power Connector, right? So we can use that. So this is how we can leverage our endpoint. Now, let's get back to here. So I showed you how we can use this application. Now, what should I do? Okay, sorry. So I'm going to close this. And if I integrate this application into my GitHub repository, so I'm just run TV ABCD. Okay. So I just use the repository name as run TV ABCD and create and push here. Then, I have my GitHub repository ready. Then I can click the push. okay. Then I change something here. Where is it? Okay. So if I change something, then make some change and commit at here. Then push this time again. Then, so my GitHub repository is ready. So what I'm going to try now is that I'm going to create a new one with a different approach. So click this one. Then, so here, this time you will be able to see this document deployment time. This will actually lead you to use GitHub Actions. So I'm going to show that. Here, API management and here, I choose the existing one. Then here, so currently I'm using the zip deploy, right? Now we can change this behavior into different one, GitHub Actions. So I choose the GitHub Actions, then it will automatically create GitHub Actions workflow within your repository. So it creates that. Then, when it is created, it automatically create it adds some secret on your GitHub repository with this the functional published profile and service principle as well. And these are all workflow you are going to see. So I'm going to commit these all the changes on my local, then push it to my GitHub repository. Then, so it is now pushed. So let's go to my GitHub repository. Here, as you can see, I just created GitHub run TV ABCD. Then here, run TV ABCD here. Then you will be able to see the GitHub Actions is actually running. So once you done once you get the all the workflow is done, and you will be able to deploy your function application and API management integration within the GitHub Actions. So now you can leverage it to use the CI/CD capability within Visual Studio, right? So I'm leaving this for now because it takes time. Now let's get back to so what else? Okay, so let's do this one. So let's get back to here. So what I'm going to show for now is that so we are using the functions application here, and I'm going to change some configurations. So what I'm trying to achieve is that I want to secure. So what I want to secure OpenAPI document endpoint. What that means is currently these endpoints are all anonymous. So it allows anonymous access. But sometimes we want to expose this OpenAPI document within the organization, only for people have the access key, right? In that case, how can I leverage it? So in this case, we can change some behavior from by changing the environment variables here. So I'm going to add OpenAPI document level. So I'm going to add the level. So OpenAPI authentication level for the document. So here, so as I said, I'm going to use this the authentication level as function. Currently it's anonymous. So I'm going to change this behavior to a function. So I'm changing it. And also I'm going to add the OpenAPI key here. So I change it. Now, so it's changed it. Then when I try to render this endpoint, so you will be able to see some differences. So when I try to render this application, it says, okay, 401 error, because we just secured this endpoint by accessing the function level. So we need to provide which one? The API keys here. We need to provide the API key to as a functions here, like code. Then you will be able to see this document, right? So by doing so, you can safely secure your OpenAPI document, the endpoint to render OpenAPI document for others to use. All right. So this is one thing. And also, I changed this behavior. All right. So now I'm going to delete this value for now. I'm going to change this value for now. So, oops. Did I change it? Okay, did I delete it? Okay, I delete it. So if I change this value, then you will be able to see. So now without this the access code and oops. You will be able to see the OpenAPI documents now. Oops, yeah, here we go, right? Then what I want to show is that now we have secured our OpenAPI document endpoint. But sometimes for the Swagger UI page itself, when you develop the OpenAPI the as a function application with OpenAPI enabled, then Swagger UI, this page can be only shown on your local machine or some sort of development instance, not for production level. Right. So if your as a functions application instance is for your production level, sometimes your organization might have a decision to hide the Swagger UI from others to access. right? In that case, how can we do it? So we can also set up this configuration within the environment variable as well. So how can we do it? In here, so there is a configuration variable here. So I'm going to add another one. So with hide Swagger UI, then here the default value is false. So if I change this value into true, then it will save and then see how it's going. So it's updated now. Now, so let's go back to the Swagger UI. Then if I refresh this page and see, you will be expected to see something. Oops, this error, because this is a 404 error, because I just hid it, right? So you are not able to see this Swagger UI, but you still able to see this Swagger document as well, right? So only you can hide this Swagger UI page. So if I change this value, if I delete this environment variable, then you will be able to see. Oops, yeah, it's refreshing. So you will be able to see the Swagger UI back to your instance, right? So see how it's going. So now, okay, so the last thing I have, and so one last thing. So if you want to change some UI customization, what that means is here. So see some the colors here. So if your organization want to change some colors or styles or some sort of behavior, then you can add some custom CSS and custom JavaScript file. In that case, what we can do here is that I'm going to add another project here. So I'm going to add another project called the custom UI options. So if I change if I have the custom UI options, then you will be able to see some differences. Then by doing so, what we can do is I add the custom CSS of the change in the color. I add the custom JavaScript file to show the console log here. So let's run this application on my local machine. Then see how it's going. So yeah, so let's get, this is the last thing I can show you. So let's wait for another minute. Is it ever running? Okay, so let me just close it again. Then see how it's running. Oops. Is it ever running? Okay. Now it is running. Then, so when I change it, so when your local machine is here, so currently it shows black, but if I run this application, it changes the UI, something like this. And also if I open the console log here, when I refresh this the UI, then you will be able to see this cut on the console log here. So by doing so, I just showed a simple example, but you will be you can change your all the styling and with some sort of default behavior of Swagger UI page by providing the custom CSS and the custom JavaScript file. So yeah, so that's it. That's the end of my demo. Whew, it was long.
All right, great job. That was a lot. That was a lot to fit in there. And you're at the mercy of Azure as well. So. Appreciate it, Justin. We're going to bring Justin back with April here in a minute while everybody kind of takes a 30-second break or so and get a drink, and then we'll do ask the experts. So please throw your questions in the chat, and we'll have a quick round of just question and answer real fast. So Ryan, you got something to throw up for us real quick? Oh, it's a hangman. It's quick. Can you guess the concept? What we got? I don't know. A lot of pictures, a lot of drawing. Organizations, technology. You spell organization differently. I saw that. That looks like Sacha down in the corner. Let me check our chat. Does anybody know what this is? While we're waiting on people to guess, Jay has a question. Do you have a GitHub repo for your examples, for your samples you can share, Justin? Maybe tweet it out.
Yes, I can show it. Currently, it's on private now, so I will. Make it public.
Okay.
Right after that. So my screen is not ready. So I'm going to make it public.
All right. Now. I don't see anybody throwing any answers. The answer to this one is tech intensity. It's something that Sacha talks about a lot. Tech intensity would be the answer there. So, all right. So I think we're good. We're right at time. I think let's go ahead and throw up the next little thing here, and we're going to go ahead and move into our Ask the Experts after this. This is a kind of 30 panel illustration, and we can make this available online, but this is a visual guide to our Fusion development path. So please visit the AKA link at the bottom to Fusion Dev Path. We have a whole Microsoft Learn path on doing Power Apps with API development, and also connecting using the OpenAPI spec. A lot of what we saw today and a little bit more. So check out that link. And the link is also in the chat. And we will see you in a few minutes, in a minute or so, and we'll get everybody up here and go through some of the questions. So if you have questions that we haven't answered, looks like Matt Sokup actually got the answer. I think, Matt, you're cheating a little bit. You answered after I gave the answer. If you have some questions, throw them in the chat, and let's bring April back in if April hasn't run away from us. And, look, she's here.
She
was going to run away here. So great stuff. Everyone, I really appreciate you going through all of the demos. I'm still trying to consume a lot, April, what you threw up there with all the things you're doing. And, it's amazing on what you can do with no code, right? Just being able to hit the dots and stuff there. I got a couple of questions that are still hanging around, Justin, from your demo that I didn't get a chance to answer. And I don't know the answer to this one, so I'm going to ask you. The template that we put together for adding the OpenAPI spec to the Azure function, I know it's available in Visual Studio. I can't remember if it's in the CLI or not, the Azure Function CLI. And on addition to that, this is a two-parter. How about Visual Studio for Mac? Did we check that?
I don't know. Okay. Currently, I'm the Visual Studio 2022 is on the way. But, okay. I'm hoping that will be included in there, but I can't answer that for now.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. So Derek, we'll check on that. Those templates all work on the same templating back end. So we'll make sure that, we'll get it all in there. It's in preview right now. So by the time it goes GA towards the end of the year, right around .NET 6 time, we'll be sure that we check all that stuff in there. Interesting question just popped up from Thomas here. In April, I think this one's for you. It says, what is the Microsoft definition of citizen?
I don't know if Microsoft has a specific definition. I'll just say what I consider a citizen. I like to say low-code dev instead of citizen developer myself, but it's just someone maybe not with a traditional programming language background, but that uses productivity tools like Excel, PowerPoint, Word, and stuff like that, building applications with low-code tools. That's what I define it as.
Yeah, I think it's a good definition. That's fine. We talk about citizen pro developer and pro developer, and this word fusion that has been defined out there is those those two personas coming together to come up with these types of solutions, right? So I think that we're going to start hearing those more. You threw some numbers out there, and I don't want to try and repeat them, but they're in the high percentages of those types of applications that we're going to see in those tech teams coming together to create that solution. One of the things that I used to do a talk a long time ago about exposing your business applications, you know, to the web, right? So when I think about API development, I think about, I have hardened, you know, systems at my business that are, you know, HR backends and, you know, all kinds of things that I can't touch. I'm afraid to touch them because they've been there forever, or they're a third-party vendor, or they might be have some APIs. And when I think about my API development and writing stuff that sits on top of that and then exposing it so that people can write web applications and stuff like that, I see this as a perfect fit for things like Power Apps. Like, I need a timesheet, or I need a, I don't know, whatever for my business. So I, some kind of vacation application, right? So April, I know you've dealt a lot with customers, and are these the types of solutions that you're seeing?
Yeah, definitely. Just that integration with, you know, whether it's, you know, your HR systems and stuff like that for managing time off. It's probably the most common integration point that I see hands down is with custom connectors and integrating with APIs like that for a lot of those common solutions, whether it's departmental or enterprise solutions like handling time management, managing timesheets, and just different use cases like that.
Sure. Justin, a question came in, and I'll try and pronounce the name. It's Syed, maybe. This had asked, what should we use OpenAPI, or why should we use OpenAPI if we can achieve the same with Azure Functions API? And I'm going to jump in a little bit and maybe try and add some additional information here. I know that we can take an Azure Functions app and import that into you know, APIM, or I can just use the endpoint itself. Why would I want to use OpenAPI if I can get the same thing out of just a regular endpoint? Why would I want to use an OpenAPI spec?
So OpenAPI spec, as far as I can say now, is OpenAPI specification is just the contract definition between the API producer and API consumer. So without the spec, without contract details, say a front-end application developer. So front-end application developer cannot build their application without API communication. But if you have OpenAPI document, if OpenAPI specification for your backend API, even if it's not functioning at all, but then the front-end application developer or Power Apps developer can build their application without having to rely on the backend API. So definitely you can use as a functions API by itself. But if we use OpenAPI, as April mentioned in her session before, so it decouples your actual implementation and the specification that you can use it.
Yeah, and I think April, you've probably been into businesses where they go, hey, we have all these APIs in the back, and you go, well, what do you have? And they go, oh yeah, there's five endpoints, and you go, okay, well, what does this thing do? And it's got like some descriptor method like that. And I think if we had an OpenAPI spec, that you just, in your example, you hit dot, right? Get products, and like they just have to tell you the methods, and then you can kind of see the data description come back. Like, you know what I'm dealing with, and I'm really just matching properties, you know, to the boxes and fields and things like that on the actual apps. A lot easier to deal with that. And I hate to kind of throw an old term out there, but I used to run a team and we did all front page, right? It was all just drag and drop. And, you know, this is like, for me, I'm like, this is cool, right? This is so easy for us to do it, right? When I look at that question, I think, why use OpenAPI spec? First off, when you use this OpenAPI spec with the tools that are out there, with things like Swagger UI, it gives me a test harness, right? I can just test it right there on the web. I don't have to write a test app that might also break and and hurt my production velocity, you know, velocity there. But also just importing an API, web API or function API into APIM, it fills in all the boxes. And April, you kind of went through it fast, right? There's like four or five tabs up there. If I just say, I want to import an API from something, and it's going to ask you, what's the name? What's the method? What's the type? And you have to type in all that stuff if you don't have an open API spec, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. To me, the biggest reason why is, well, if you want to integrate it with Power Platform, that's really, you need an open API spec one way or the other to do it. So if you want to have that low-code integration, that's definitely the way to go.
Yeah, for sure.
For those who wants to see my demo GitHub repository, then okay. So you will be able to see this GitHub repository. So see that?
Yeah. Look at that. You ask and you receive. So there's the GitHub repo. Check out that. All of Justin's awesome code that you can go and check out. And please check out the book the learning path that we put up before as well. And again, keep your questions coming. And yeah, Thomas, you made a good point. It has automatic UI for the experiments or testing. I'm kind of scanning through, looking for some other questions that I may have missed. scanning.
I saw a good one a while back from Andreas that I did want to touch on in case, because I know I glanced over this really fast in mine. But they thought they read something about Azure API Management Connector being available for Microsoft Teams for citizen developers. So I did want to touch on that. That is that Dataverse for Teams, which is giving us the ability to create a Power App with inside Microsoft Teams to be used in Teams. And yeah, if you're using Azure API Management, that connector is available in Dataverse for Teams Power Apps for free. So that was that article probably that they were mentioning there, okay. Announcing that for free, we can leverage Azure API Management all we want in our Dataverse for Teams Power Apps.
Cool. All right, so there's a question here too, maybe a little M365. I think this is around, looks like it was right around April, right around your demo. Something about Graph API using API Gateway internally. Do you see a lot of Power Apps using Graph API or M365, you know, in some of their experience and maybe some of the challenges around that?
Definitely lots of M365. I believe still the most utilized connector is the SharePoint connector. So that is by far the primary data source that most people are using still for Power Apps based applications. As far as the graph, I do see a lot of integrations. Now, the thing with that is there's not a native graph connector like with all those connectors we have. So if we do want to connect to the graph, we are having to use like the HTTP trigger or something, or a custom connector, which is what a lot of a good use case for a custom connector that we see, creating that to be able to make those graph calls natively in your Power Apps and your Power Automate flows.
Have you, we talked about the licenses earlier, as Justin was presenting it, I seem to remember us announcing a developer license or some new license at Build. Do you recall what that license was or what the dynamics were around that?
Off the top of my head, no. I know with like your Visual Studio Enterprise, like you get a license for Power Apps to be able to test in dev Power Apps on now the URL.
I believe that was the one, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it or the URL, but yes, that was announced at Build, which is pretty cool because that was a big ask for a while, right? Is how can we help pro devs be able to more seamlessly create Power Apps and test that. So the fact that it's included with that Visual Studio Enterprise license is cool.
Yeah.
What during the Build, there was an announcement that they called the Power Apps Developer Plan. So we can use that. It used to be a Power Apps Community Plan, and it changes the name to Developer Plan. Then with a lot more features and more capability so that you can build Power Apps and Power Automate within that.
Yeah, that was actually, that was another announcement. So there was for the Visual Studio one, but then there was the Power Apps Dev. So the community plan, as Justin said, has been around for a while. But one of the key things that they're going to be adding for this dev plan is the ability to have multiple environments. So if you've used the Power Platform before, environments are kind of logical security boundaries. And we often use those for like our dev test and prod for the solutions that we build. So the ability that they're adding to have multiple environments is actually pretty huge, because that means now we can test out our application lifecycle management in the dev plan, which we couldn't do previously because it was limited to one environment.
You know, I was thinking about testing, right? So although most developers don't think about testing, I was actually thinking about it. And I know with the Swagger UI, it gives us a good ability to test, you know, the API backends. And I know that using Power App Studio, I can F5 it or hit the play button and kind of test my app and things like that. Are there any good tools for testing Power Apps kind of in mass, like actually running through a bunch of tests to you know, run through a scenario or a flow?
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the great things about Power Apps. We have Power Apps Monitor to do like a debugging session, and we can invite and share that with other people to do live, real-time collaborative debugging. We also have Test, which is still experimental right now, or really even preview. But we can do unit tests for our Power Apps. So that's baked into there. And then when we talk about taking it further with the solutioning mechanism, so if we're building something that might consist of a Canvas application, a model-driven app, and say a Power Automate flow, and you package that into a solution, we have built-in testing for the entire solutions as well to make sure, you know, there's no dependency issues and things like that.
Okay, awesome. All right, well, both of you, I appreciate you taking the couple of hours that we've put together here, both demos and great talks. I'm going to go back and kind of rewatch both at least pieces and parts of them that I think I kind of glazed over a couple of parts there. So I'm going to have our wonderful producer who's helped us out and hung out with us for a couple of hours throw up a couple of Nitya's wonderful little doodles here and see if we can guess together what these might be. And folks in the chat, see if you can figure out what this is. Again, we've got some very fast drawings. Again, check out I got to actually squint in. I don't have my nighttime glasses on tonight, so
I can't keep up.
That's so fast. This is a service.
I know what it is.
You know, I don't know if you can play along, April, anymore here. So, all right, what if I could use formulas? I know what this one is now. I know. Justin, do you know what it is?
I might able to answer that. Can I answer that? No.
I almost said power flow, but there's not enough letters. That's another. That's something else that's there. Oh. All right. I'm going to wait. In the meantime, yeah, Haley, thank you, Haley, for sharing that plan. So Haley shared the link to the Power Apps dev plan in the chat. So check that out. That's the one we were trying to guess. I should have known Haley was there hanging out for us. All right. Looks like that's PowerFX. Douglas wins. Way to go. You win the virtual high five. Way to go.
Cool.
Okay. I think we got one more. All right. It's another service, bigger boxes. We have a Power App. We've got a Wave API. This doesn't look right. How can you interface them? Justin, this might be on you, buddy. Problem solved. I just built my own.
Yep. I think I know this one too.
You think you know? We're not getting any cheat letters. Where's my cheat letter?
That's what I know. Connect
Power Apps to an external service. But what if I have... Whoa, it went away.
Oh, no.
What happened? Oh, there we go.
There we go. Yeah, so I love that answer.
You love that answer.
We have talked a lot about this answer today.
Yeah, we did. All right. I'm going to
see if maybe Douglas can get two in a row there.
Oh, Thomas, you're pretty close. I give you that. API Gateway is not the correct answer, but it's pretty close.
That is a part. That is one way to do this.
I would say that's a way to do it. And our friends Jeremy and Douglas both got it. Douglas, you've been on point tonight, buddy. Custom connector is the correct one. And that's going to shut us down for the evening or morning for you, Justin. I want to mention just one more time and be repetitive. Look, check out the links in the chat to the learning path, the ebook. Thank you, Haley, again for sharing the link to the dev plan. And we've got more events coming up on Learn TV around similar things where you can join. And we hope you can take the time, your morning, evening, afternoon, to hang out with folks like us and other experts in the areas that you're interested in. So, folks, thanks again, April, Justin. Enjoy the rest of your day, evening. And I will see you again on the internet.